32. I know for many of you, you're warm, and that's all we can do. And this is cold as we can get it. Just to show you, I'm going to try to comfort you. I'm going to leave my jacket on, okay? Does that help you feel better? And so there we go. And men, if you have used deodorant today, if you have a jacket on, you're more than welcome to take it off. If you have not used deodorant today, you can sit on the back row. But heard about that fella. He stepped on the elevator, and he began sniffing, and he looked at the fellow next to him. He said, "One of our deodorants is not working." Another guy spoke to him, and he said, "Must be yours. I don't use any." So, but Exodus chapter 32, Exodus chapter 32. All right. Let's have a word of prayer. I'll give you the introduction, and then we'll stand after the prayer. Father, thank you for these good people. Thank you for them being here on a warm day, evening, Sunday night. When 90% of the churches in Napa are closed tonight, or they dismissed early for holidays instead of teaching the Word of God, thank you for a group of people that love you. Thank you for Sunday night that you established on Easter 2,000 years ago. Teach us, Lord. Help us have a teachable spirit. Help us to want to know what the Bible says and have an attitude of surrender and submission to the final authority, which is the Word of God. And especially this area tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. There are two topics that are hot buttons. And when you push them, some people feel very uncomfortable. For instance, we're not going to speak on this subject tonight, women and clothing. You just don't tell a woman what to wear or what not to wear. That is their business. Some of you single men, you wait till I get married, I'll tell her what to wear. Yeah, in between black eyes and frying pans hitting you on the head. Then there's another topic that seems to be a hot topic because we identify with this. And with our clothing, it is kind of like who we are. And the other topic that we cannot avoid speaking on tonight, many people, you start to mention it, they get very offensive, very uncomfortable, because it's an area that is not surrendered totally to the Lord. It's one of those closet areas of, "Lord, I'll let you send me to Africa as a missionary, but don't touch this area. It's mine." So I want to talk about it a little bit tonight. I'll probably be in faster gear because it's warm. I was going to turn this into an 8-week series. I said, I don't want to be 8 weeks on this. So it's one night, all right? And so if I speak fast, you'll understand. Now, some of you are going to say, just right off the bat, "I don't need this. It's nothing to do with me." But the Bible says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." It's important we know what the Bible says. When we talk about sin or evil or things that are good and righteous, it ought never be, "Here's what the pastor says." It ought to be, "Here's what the Word of God says." Because one day the pastor may die, but the Word of God lives on forever. And you want to always build your life on Bible and verse. And we want to be the type of Christians that if someone can show us chapter and verse, we say, "Okay, as long as it's in the Bible, I'm okay." And so just want to give you some principles here tonight on this subject, godly music. Godly music. Now the word muse, if you cut it in half, music, it's the word muse or think. And I have to believe that God is very concerned with what His children think. Some of you wives, you'll look at your husband sometime on a rare occasion and say, "What are you thinking?" Notice I said that word, rare occasion. What are you thinking? A woman is interested in what her man's thinking. And we parents are very interested if our children think or not. No, I mean, excuse me, what they're thinking about. So that we're muse or music, what we think eventually comes out in our lifestyle. So music is really our thinking. It's what we're thinking. If we're a musician, we are expressing what we are already thinking. You want to know what America is thinking? Listen to America's music. It's simply the thoughts of our country. And so with that in mind, 110 times the word singing is used in the Bible. The word music is mentioned many times. The word musician is 56 times. There's a whole book of the Bible named Psalms or God's Songbook. And so how does that all relate to us? I was thinking earlier tonight just on this subject where the Bible says in Exodus 15, He is my strength. The Lord is my strength and song. Notice how that word strength and song goes hand in hand. Here's what he's saying. You want to have strength to make it through the tough times? You're going to have a song in your heart. Good gospel, godly music. A song in our heart will give you strength to get through the tough times. That's why it's important. Music plays such a big role in a church and in a Christian's heart if we're to make it through the tough times. Now, here's the illustration, and then we'll stand and read the scripture. There are two bridges. Here we are. This is you and I. There's a bridge back to the world. There's a bridge that will quickly get you back where you used to be, away from God, same old lifestyle, same thoughts, same priorities, same friends, same feelings, same past, same guilt. There's a bridge back to the world. How many of you have noticed that since you've been saved? Though we may think we burnt them all, boy, it doesn't take long to get back. It doesn't take long to slip back and be what you used to be. Then there is a bridge that brings us closer to Jesus Christ. Now, we need to realize this. Our music is either a bridge back to the world or it's a bridge that brings us closer to Jesus Christ. There's no in-between. And so what we're thinking is bringing us back that road or it's bringing us that road right there. So just want to give you just some scriptures tonight. If you want to jot things down, you can. I'm not going to turn and read every one. I'll quote as many as I can, give you a few illustrations. But let's notice one in particular, please. Let's stand in honor of God's word. We're in Exodus chapter 32. You know the story. Moses has taken a vacation. He's been gone 40 days. That's why I've never taken a 40-day vacation since I've been here. I'm afraid Brother Debsky and Brother Matt would have y'all dancing around a golden calf by the time I get back. And Brother Eric forming it in the fire or something. But Moses is up getting the Ten Commandments. And notice what happens here just in 40 days, a little over a month. And it says down in verse 17, chapter 32, Exodus 32, 17. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people, and notice the description, as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise. Notice he uses the word shout. Then he says, there's noise of war in the camp. So he's on the mountain and he says, it sounds like there's a bunch of noise down there. Then he says, it sounds like people are screaming. Then he says, no, it sounds like there's a war. Maybe they're being attacked. And that's what it sounded like. Verse 18, and he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. Huh. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh to the camp, that he saw the calf, they're dancing around an idol, and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot. So the closest person to God was very angry. Noise, war, shouting, singing, dancing. Verse 25, and when Moses saw that the people were naked. Wow. Well, this kind of deteriorated quickly. 40 days, Brother Jones, 40 days. And they go from Moses, we love you. They're dancing around naked around a golden calf. The first rock concert in the Bible. So where do you get that? Noise, screaming, shouting, dancing, singing. It sounded like a riot. Hear about the people that were eating in a Chinese restaurant. Someone dropped a tray of dishes. 15 people got up and started dancing. They thought someone put a quarter in the jukebox. Okay. Well, it's going to be downhill from here, so let's just pray. We're too hot. In between fanning, you didn't get that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Help us make sense of the truth tonight. Help people put their guards down. Just hear me out. Listen to what the Bible says tonight. No one will ever have total victory in the Christian life until they settle on what type of music is acceptable unto the Lord. Help us not be to the place that we say, hey, it doesn't matter. It's my life. No. Help us determine what music is leading us closer to you, what music is leading us farther away. Because we need your strength. We need a power to win this country. We need to get through the tough times. Help us to determine some things tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you have a cell phone, if you'd be so kind, just to turn that thing down, it would be a big help. You say, well, Pastor, What is the power of music? Let me give you several powers mentioned in Scripture. 1 Samuel 16, if you want to jot it down. Saul is depressed, and they ask for David to come and play the what? Help me. The harp. And the Bible says, as he played the harp, the evil spirit departed from King Saul. It was a spirit of depression. You suffer depression. You're very melancholic. Greatest thing you can do is have music playing in your home. Music lifts the spirit. Demons and devils don't like to be around Christian music. The spirit departed. Not only that, it brought salvation to an entire family. In Acts chapter 16, the Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas were in jail, and as they prayed and sang praises unto God, the doors opened, the jailer got saved, and his whole family got saved. How come? It was people singing. And they said, what must we do to be saved? All right, thank you very much. I knew it was in there somewhere. Glance over here, if you will, please, at 2 Chronicles for a moment. And the quicker you move, the less hot you'll be. Here we go. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Promise? Nope. But 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Notice here, God uses music and singing as a great victory to us. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. Notice this battle here. And God says in verse number 15, the last part of this phrase. And we're in chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. And looking down here. And he says in verse number 15, the last phrase, he says, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And then it says, looking down into verse number 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out from before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, and the victory comes. So here it is. They're going into a battle, and the leader of the battle says, we're facing the enemy. He said, I want the priests out front, want the trumpet players. And when we start to go to battle, let's sing and praise God. And when they did that, God took care of the battle right there. You're facing battles in your life. Singing and music will help you have the victory. That's what he's saying right there. We have in 2 Kings 3, you need not turn there. Elisha the preacher is asked to come and help the people. Here's what he said. Bring me a minstrel. Bring me a musician. When he plays, I'll be ready to preach. That's why we have music before the preaching. Music prepares the heart for the Word of God. That's why you'll see in these churches in the Orient, in Korea, you'll sing the people, see them bring their hymn books. They will sing, and then their heart is open for the Word of God. Same with us tonight. Very, very important. It prepares our heart. Here's another one here. Hebrews 2:12, if you want to jot it down. The Bible says, and in the midst of the church, Jesus sings. Is that not an amazing verse? Hebrews 2:12. So wherever you are right there, Brother Schneider or Miss Lincoln or whoever's in the middle right here, that's probably where Jesus is. He says, whenever I'm being sung about, he said, I'm just right in the middle singing too. So what's that do? When you sing, it puts you in good company as well. The bridge back to the world, or the bridge closer to the Lord. And what does godly music do for you? Quickly here. Number one, it begins when you get saved. If you're here tonight, you're a child of God. The Bible says in Psalm 40, he hath put a new song in our heart, even praise unto his name. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. The moment we get saved, there's something that wants to sing inside of us. I like that song, God wants to hear you sing. And I love that. It's on charity CD. By the way, they're not for sale anymore. We're out of them. But what's he saying? He's saying that he puts a song in our heart. You may not be able to carry a tune, but if you're saved, there's a song that wants to come out. Now, you may not sing good in church. You may not hit the notes. But when you're alone, there ought to be something that comes out and sings. Next, it's a powerful weapon. Number three, it gives you strength. We talked about it. It aids in prayer. The Bible says, come before his presence with singing. Someone told me this a while back. They said, the heavens are hard, Pastor. I just can't get through. It seems like God's not even there anymore. If you come before his presence with singing, he'll feel real close. Come before his presence. You sing some of the hymns, and you get your hymn book out, and you just start singing. It's going to warm your heart up, and you'll feel like you're right next to him. It just goes hand in hand in Scripture. Here's another one. You say, Pastor, what's this for? Our singing ought to be joyful. Ask Brother Matt, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. There are some of the hymns in our hymn book, I hate to tell you. I've marked off the list. I gave them to Brother Depsky years ago, and then Brother Matt years ago. I said, we're not singing this one. It's dead. We're not singing that one. It's dead. I don't like that one. It's dead. I don't want to sing songs that sound like we're at a funeral. And I'm for something. Holy, holy, holy. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Bury him. Brother, man, I want to hear something that love lifted me. I was sinking deep in sin. Love lifted me. The crimson flood, I see, I plunge, and now it lifteth me. That's what I want to sing about. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Not only that, it ought to reveal the fruit of the Spirit. When God fills us with His Spirit, it makes us want to sing. He says, be filled with the Spirit. He says, singing to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. When we're full of Him, we'll be singing about Him. Well, how do you know if you're filled with the Spirit? You'll be singing often. Here's another one, quickly. It ought to bring glory to Him. Our singing ought to glorify Him, not us, not the world, but Him. He says, whatsoever you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Psalm 150 says, let everything in the earth praise the Lord. The high sounding cymbals, the trumpets, let everything that hath breath to praise the Lord. That ought to be our singing. Here's another one. We ought to be able to understand it. That's why if you sing in junior choir, you sing specials, whatever you do, make sure people understand what you're singing. Don't sing so much opera, man, we're impressed, but we can't hear the words. You ever hear someone singing, wow, that was great, but I didn't understand what they were saying. Okay, moving right along. Someone says, Pastor, I ought to just get back to fanning here. Next, it ought to be scriptural. The Bible says, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. That's why when we sing, it ought to be based on the Bible. Many of the religious songs today, they're not scriptural at all. Let's keep going here. Number next, it ought to have the melody emphasized. It says singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. That's what's wrong with much of the modern day Christian music. There's no tune to it. It's kind of this weird, and there's no tune. Okay, let's keep going here. That's why the old hymns, you can, blessed be the name, blessed be. There's a tune you remember. Much of the modern day stuff, nothing repeats. It's so long and you can't even remember it. Singing with melody in the heart. Number next, it ought to major on the future, not the past. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, it says, He has put a new song in our heart. They sang a new song. Up in heaven, we're going to be singing about the future, not just the past. That's the difference in country music and gospel music. Country music always majors on the past. Your cheating heart. The dog we buried, the job we lost, the truck we wrecked, the relationship we destroyed. It's always in the past. Past is depressing. And God's songs ought to be majored toward the future. Now, not only that, our music ought to be different than the world. Somehow, most churches are trying to see how close they can get to the world's music and not how close they can get to Jesus Christ. That's why we don't have the rock band on the platform tonight. It's 4th of July. Our drummer forgot to show up. Our electric guitarist, he didn't make it. Our dance team didn't make it. How come? Because we want a bridge going that way, not back that way. You say, Pastor, what's going to help me personally with my music here? What's going to help me? Several just practical thoughts here. Let me just talk about the world's music just for a moment. The name suggests immorality. You don't have to listen to much of the world's music to realize it's all about sensuality. It has nothing to do with God. It's all about sense, feel good, whatever makes you feel good. It has nothing to do with the Bible. The message is rebellion. Underlying theme of the world's music is do your own thing. Forget what anybody else sings. Think about you. I did it. Even Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. It ought to be I did it your way, but he did it his way. The lyrics promote immorality. It promotes drugs and drinking. Most of the lifestyles of the performers are ungodly. Sometimes it incites violence. When's the last time you read on eBay or read on eBay? I guess we don't read eBay. When's the last time you saw in the news, church has riot, 28 trampled to death? Man, that's quite a sermon. Hopewell Baptist, 5 killed in the lobby. Riot, violence breaks out. You just don't have that when there's gospel singing. Pastor, give me something just practical real quick. I remember years ago, I was in Dallas, where we're going to hear a Christian performer. By the way, you'll never see that in the Bible. They never had people sell tickets for Christian performers. There were people in local churches that used their talents and abilities to bless others. Can you imagine coming to church today and people saying, "You have a ticket? You have a ticket to hear the pastor." What? Tickets at the door. $20 at the door. Tickets, what? Yet we live in a day with a contemporary, by the way, con and temporary. With the contemporary music of our day that calls itself Christians, it's all into entertainment. Stadium, come pay some money to hear so-and-so bless you. It's not scriptural. It's not scriptural. Many of those folks, they're not attached to a local church. They're not local church. Remember years ago, as a young college student, going to hear one of the top Christian songwriters of my day, Andre Crouch. He played the piano. Tremendous music he's written. He just didn't live it. That stadium was packed out. I remember he autographed my program. He just put, "Love, Andre." He wrote that song, "The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power." He wrote that song, "My Tribute, How Can I Say Thanks?" And he was picked up for cocaine distribution not too many months after that. What happened? Somehow he just kind of built the bridge back to the world. I remember traveling years later and pulled over at a truck stop, and there was a big bus, a big diesel bus that pulled up and had a big sign on the side that said Cathedrals. And in my day, that was a big, big gospel quartet group. Who knows if they're still alive? They're probably like the Grateful Dead. You know, they're in their 90s or something. Or Mick Jagger, you know, he's embalmed. Mick Jagger was old when I was a kid, and he's still going. Paul McCartney. It's unbelievable how he's here singing with no teeth. But I remember as we pulled up, I was thinking it was all girls getting off the bus, but it was all guys, and their hair was way down here. I said, "This is unbelievable." Remember hearing years ago when they were a gospel group, the Oak Ridge Boys. They were a gospel group. I had one of their 8 tracks. Show you how many years ago it was. Their famous song, "When King Jesus Comes Back to Rule and Reign on Earth." That was the big song. I remember they were playing out of high school, and some friends from Bible college, we went to hear them. And again, they were smoking right before they sang about the Lord. I remember catching one of them, the drummer, after the service. I said, "Now tell me, just shoot straight. If you died today, are you going to heaven?" Here's what he said: "If there is one." And that was the gospel group. I'm just saying, not everyone who has gospel is building a bridge this way. They look like the world. They sing like the world. It's entertainment music. They have all their awards. Why? So they can get glory for their talents. God says, "I'll give you glory if you give me the crowns." We're not here to take our talents to be recognized by this world. We want to take our talents and be blessed, be a blessing to others. Now quickly, you say, "Pastor, what do? With this sort of thing." Notice here, please, in Acts chapter 19, if you will. Acts chapter 19 for a moment. Just a couple of real practical thoughts. Acts chapter 19. The world's music. The world's music. And I'll say this. It'll be the hardest bridge you ever settle in your life. Acts chapter 19. Hardest battle you'll ever have selling out to God will be your music. Hard. How come? It's ingrained. Stop for a moment. How many of you would say your bridge is heading this way? Your music's drawing you closer to the Lord, but when you go to a restaurant, you hear the music you listened to when you was way over here, and it brings back a lot of memories. Anyone maybe a little bit like that? I can hear 2 notes, and I can sing the rest of the song. And it puts me in that ungodly mood and that ungodly frame. How come? Because those people I listened to were living with boyfriends, living with girlfriends, shooting up drugs, cursing God, worshiping Hare Krishna, doing all these wicked things, yet they were influencing me. When you listen to music 24 hours a day or 10 or 12 hours a day for about 20 years, it's embedded. And that's what makes music so powerful. You want to change your life? Take this hymn book, take the old gospel songs that we have and some great Christian CDs, flush your mind. Why? It's easier to memorize music than it is Bible. Guarantee you, if I ask you to stand up right now and quote me some verses from Hebrews, some of you could. Others would have to say, whoa. But if I said, this is my, you could say, story, this is my song. Boy, you could finish the song. When we've been there 10,000, and man, you could finish the song. Why? Music lodges in your mind. But you'll never be sold out to God till you determine which road am I heading. And what do you do with it? Karen, can I ask you something just right over here? Before you got in our church faithful, did you play a musical instrument? What musical instrument was that, Karen? Drummer for 25 years. Those of you that did not know Karen Johnston, now it's Karen Reagan, she was the drummer of Napa Valley. She played for the bands. Some of you old timers, Inagata DeVita. She could play that. You say, who? No, that's the other rock group. What? Yeah, I think that was one too. He's on second. Anyway, but I remember when Karen came to me after a service, she said, Pastor, I got to get rid of it. Back then it was albums. You remember the LPs? No CDs back then. How many dollars worth did you dump? Tens of thousands of dollars. So you kind of got rid of it because you felt like it was kind of bringing you down this road here? Yeah. An axe. The axe murderer is in our church. Did you hear that? She didn't give it away. She didn't want to pollute anybody else. Notice what they did again in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 19. In verse 18, Paul preached in this city. They were given to witchcraft. What is witchcraft? Rebellion. What is the world's music? Rebellion. And many that believed, verse 18, came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts took their books together and burned them before all men. They counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So here's the result. When they got rid of their witchcraft, they got rid of the things that were pulling them back to the world. Here it is, verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. What happens? When we burn some bridges and say, whatever's leading me down this road, I'm getting rid of it. God says, God's word's going to prevail. If we're not careful, we become passive parents. And it's, look, I'm tired of fighting the battle. My kid's music is my kid's music. Your kid's mind is their mind. Well, all they do is just have those earphones all night long. It's our business as parents what's going through our kids' ears. I said, well, what happened to their rights? Here's their rights. When they pay the rent, they can listen to whatever they want to. That's their rights. I'm not going to pay rent and have some kid in my house listening to music that says they ought to be stabbing their parents. I said, well, Pastor, aren't they still listening to I Want to Hold Your Hand? About 40 years ago. So what do you do, Pastor? If you want to be on the right bridge, number one, destroy the old. Get rid of it. Number two, replace it. God's the one that invented music. It's powerful. He doesn't want us to get rid of music. He says, replace it. Okay, let's find out. I'll confess. You know, I listen to rock music every week of my life. It's Spencer, every week of my life, I listen to rock music. Alex, every week of my life, I listen to country music. I'm the pastor. Jordan, every week of my life, I listen to rap music. I mean the cussing kind. He said, Pastor, what kind of preacher are you? I listen to it in my car as other people pull up next to me. I hear theirs. I hear it all the time. I go into a restaurant, I'm hearing it. It's everywhere. So how do you get the victory? You're going to have to replace it. Replace it. Let me say this. Better than the radio is CDs. You say, well, I listen to Christian radio. Not me. Too much junk. You're going to have some guy, the end of the world, now it's October 21st, and the guy's 90-something years old. He don't even remember what he said last. Changing the date all the time, and this kook, and then you got this Christian rapper, and then finally there's a good song. Someone says, well, Pastor, I can wade through and I can find a good song. You know, I dropped a quarter in a toilet one time, but I just left it there. You can maybe find something good on some radio station somewhere, but you do a lot better buying something you want to listen to. Pop that in. Listen to what you planned on, not what they give you. People all the time ask me, have you heard this preacher? Nope, I don't listen to that. Have you heard this singer? Have you heard that? No, I hadn't heard them. If they don't go to church like this, I've probably not heard them. Destroy it. Replace it. Quickly. Expect a new appetite to take some time. Had someone recently tell me this. They said, Pastor, I come to your church. I love your preaching. I hate the music. I said, well, Brother Matt. He said, I love your preaching. Can't stand the music. I said, well, what kind do you listen to? He said, you know the heavy metal Christian. I said, oh, I see. Now I understand. Now, folks, if you're coming from Led Zeppelin or whoever's common now, Eminem, 50 Cent, Nickel, some of these guys, Snickers bars, if you're coming from that, and now we're singing hymns, there's just no happy medium. It's not like some drug where you're going from heroin, then you get on some substitute, and then maybe 10 years from now you're clean. Man, you're just going to have to make the break. You won't go through withdrawals like some druggie or something. I mean, you won't curl up in fetal position. You'll live. Now, it'll take a while for that appetite. If you're a teenager and you're used to drinking soda for breakfast and candy for lunch, and you move into a home where they say, we're having broccoli tonight, you may not appreciate it. But it'll be good for you. It'll take a while. You develop an appetite. I never ate Mexican food, never ate Chinese food until I moved to California, and I've developed an appetite for that. I love it. Never had clam chowder until I got married. I love clam chowder. Never had alligator. Anyway, so. Take your Bibles. Let's look at one of the verse, please. I think most of you have stopped fanning. Okay. Ephesians chapter 5, if you will. Ephesians 5. Again, let me ask you a question. What are you thinking? You wake up thinking about the Lord, His goodness, His mercy, living right, winning souls, or do you wake up thinking of immorality, violence, depression, suicide? Who is that thinking? Who is that? Notice what God says here in Ephesians chapter 5, please. Verse number 18, and be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Then He says, if we are speaking to yourselves, notice, it's to you, not to others, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart, guess who too? To the Lord. So what's God saying? Just a couple practical things. We have to go. Number one, sing when you're alone. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of His love in a book He has written. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. You know, you can slur it as much as you want it when you're alone. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. Man, a concert of what? You know, you enjoy hearing yourself sing. That's why God gave humans all these different notes. You see, when you sing, it gives you strength. You're all fearful and you're uptight and afraid of the future. We sing when we're fearful. I guarantee you. If you've ever watched some old Alfred Hitchcock movie at your friend's house. I remember one night we watched The Birds, of all things. Now it's almost a comedy. I think my kids watched it few years ago. We heard about this, you know, and it looks like this little puppet on someone's hand, you know, pecking. Who was that? They still got the guy's arm halfway through the film, and someone throwing some Wonder Bread on someone's head. That's supposed to be. I mean, our kids laughed at it. But I remember watching it, Paul and Daryl Furrier's house, my brother and I, and I'm ashamed to say, I asked him to hold my hand when we walked home. And he was 19, I think, at the time. But I guarantee you, you've walked in your house late at night and heard a noise. And you started whistling or singing, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me high. Why are you singing? Gives you strength and courage. Life's too hard. It's too fearful to go through life and not have the strength that comes from being close to the Lord and singing His praise. Sing alone. Pick you some hymns about heaven. You're discouraged? Hey, I'm on the winning side. Sing all the verses. Our forefathers had strength because they put so much into the music. All the great revivals in American history. Billy Sunday had Homer Rodehaver, his song leader, led with a trombone and played that trombone. Ira Sankey led the music for D.L. Moody, George Beverly Shea, for Billy Graham all those years. Why? Because there's something about that thing of music. Gives you courage. Number two, listen to good Christian music. Our homes ought not sound like morgues. You've ever walked into a funeral home, it's dead. More ways than one. There's people who are dead there, most of the workers, and some of them are my friends. It's just dead. The pastor's here. Good evening, pastor. And then they'll say, it's good to see you. I'll always say, it's not good to see you. You're not getting me. You hear me? I always feel like Brother Dewey, they're just kind of pulling that tape measure out saying, 5'4½, we got a casket just this size. I don't like those places because there's no music, there's no atmosphere. In our homes, it ought to be when we walk in, nothing is impossible. There's Hiles Anderson playing, there's Golden State playing, there's the West Coast playing, there's somebody singing in the background, Brother Tony Hudson of all people. Singing. You know what it does? Takes your mind from depression, sink, water in sink. It goes to the lowest spot. No noise. Your mind automatically goes to your problems, the lowest spot. You're depressed. You can overcome that depression if you have music playing all the time. Good gospel music. Get you about 200 songs on your iPod. Just stick them in. Just that music ought to be playing all the time. I'm a husband so angry when it comes in. It's hard to be angry if you're listening to Amazing Grace. Amen. Husband comes home ticked off, opens the door. When the roll is called up yonder, woman! When the roll is called up yonder, woman! When the roll is, what's, honey, what's for supper? I don't believe it. Try it for 1 week. Money back guarantee. Try it for 1 week. How much? I don't know. Number three, choose what songs you listen to, not the radio. Pastor, you listen to that K-Love? Nope. Am I picking it against it? Nope. But I just don't agree with every song they play, so I don't need to wade through them. And a new Christian, I'm not going to say, listen to this. They're going to have to wade through all this junk. Number next, sing at church. Well, I don't know the songs. Better start learning them. Finals are coming. You're going to have to know all these songs up in heaven. Here's Brother Treber. And I love Brother Treber. North Valley Baptist Church, 35 years. Eat up with arthritis. 1,000 injections. Is it heroin or what's he shoot up? No. I don't think it's that. Something he has to get in Mexico every year just for all his rheumatoid arthritis. They call his church the singing church. You know why? There's a song in the pastor's heart. He's always singing. He knows hymns nobody knows in the world but him. And he teaches it to the church, and pretty soon we all know him. He's come out with his third hymn book, compiling the old hymns that we've gotten rid of. Remember being at his church when they were overwhelmed with their building project. I think the building that was going to be $3 million ended up about $12 million. Just you name it, it went wrong. How did he go through that? He taught a series for 2 years on the book of Psalms. Having a song in your heart. How come? He needed it. They sing for 45 minutes every Sunday night. How come? Well, he's got short sermons. No, because he knows the people are discouraged. And if you can put a song in their heart, they'll have some strength. Number next, and we're just about done. Sing at church. So I don't know the songs. Well, just bellow them out. I still remember when the congregation, when I was a little boy, back then it was not really soul winning church as much. It was mostly get people to church and get them saved. So during the invitation, the pastor would say, "Take your songbook, turn to Almost Persuaded." We'd all start singing, "Almost Persuaded." Da 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 da, almost persuaded. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Oh, why not tonight? I remember singing dozens of times. Remember the Sunday Keith Gomez got saved, sitting right over here. I was sitting a few rows behind him, and I remember us pulling out those books, singing the invitation song. It does something to you. Sing in church. Hey, kids, don't cut up. Sing in church. It's for you. It's for you. You're going to need these songs one day. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. You're going to need that one day. I don't know about tomorrow. I don't seem to understand. But I know. I know that part. Who holds tomorrow? And I know. Who holds my hand? Many things about tomorrow, many things. Anyway, you just have to look it up. But I know this, there's something about those hymns. And then last, use your talent. Use your talent. Someone says, "Boy, I wish we had." You know, there's people sitting in this congregation tonight. You can sing solos. You can sing duets. You have a tremendous voice. You ought to use it for the Lord. You're going to use it for the Lord. We've hidden microphones throughout the congregation tonight. We're coming after you. Let me ask you a question. We're done. Where's your bridge tonight? Is your music bringing you back to the old life? Here's what my daddy said, Brother Vaughn. He heard Brother Hooker preach that music message. We were in Dan Carr's church. My dad poked me. He's 81 years of age. He pokes me. That's why I was so mad when I was in them nightclubs. He said, "I was listening to depressing music. No wonder I wanted to punch somebody." I said, "Thanks, Dad. You're 81. Glad you figured it out." I preached at a camp one time. You said, "When are you going to be done?" "I'm done." Preached at a camp one time, teen camp. I said, "Any questions?" Question and answer session. Just preach the whole message on why you shouldn't build a bridge back to the wrong lifestyle and the wrong kind of music. Teenager said, "What's your favorite kind of music?" I said, "My favorite is heavy rock music, heavy metal." Rock, well, not heavy metal, but just hard rock. Real confused look on this kid's face. "You just told us we shouldn't listen to that. What is your favorite music?" I said, "Hard rock. Just love it. Just love it." I said, "I didn't say I listened to it." I said, "It's my favorite music. My flesh loves it." Karen, you still beat on things? When I was in high school, we'd be in lunch line. We were always playing drums. I drive that way. I can be in traffic. Beat on that steering wheel. When my kids were young, just on their knees. You know, their head was the symbol. When it's in you for 20 or 30 years, it's in you. My flesh likes that dancey, beat, loud scream. And it loves it. But guess what my spirit loves? Amen. That right there. Because that's going to give me strength. That's going to give me power to be a soul winner. That's going to give me something different in my life that unsaved people need so I can get people up in heaven. So sometimes I guess the decision is, do I love the Lord more than sound? But I just like it. That's like a mass murderer. I just like killing. Well, that's okay then. I mean, if you like it, just don't kill me. Here's a husband. I just like having affairs. Well, you know, if you like it, I guess you ought to. God says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Character says, it's not good for me. God says I shouldn't. His is better. My choice. Now, until some folks in this room make that decision, you'll struggle in every area of your life. You'll struggle with your thought life. You'll struggle with your morals. You'll struggle with your dating. How come? If your mind is filled with immorality, it's hard to behave. If your mind is filled with anger, it's hard to be happy and joyful. Now, that may mean this. It may mean some teenagers who ride with their older brothers and sisters and they get in the car and it's wah, 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 and that's not even the engine, that's just the music. You may have to learn to take a stand. It may have to be, you know, I told God I'm not going to hear that. I'm not putting you down. Do you mind turning that off? Could we listen to something else? If they say no, you need to get to the place you can say, could you please pull over? I told God I'm not listening to it. Open the door, walk. Exercise will do you good. So that's kind of dumb. No, there'll be someone walking with you. His name's Jesus. You'll see the nail print hands by faith. You'll say, hey, you kind of knew what it was to stand alone too, huh? Yep. It's not easy for adults. I've gone places with new converts or maybe going somewhere with a realtor or some business guy in the area. And they've got it on. I say, I'm not trying to be holier than it. You mind if we turn that off? I'd rather talk to you than listen to music. Sure. Thank you. It's not easy. But he says, I want you to love me with all your heart, mind, soul, let me ask you a question. Which direction is your bridge headed? No neutral. That's why I'm maybe struggling. You get your music right, the rest comes. The rest comes. And Karen, I guarantee you, when you bashed your old records, I guarantee you on the way home, someone jumped on your shoulder and said, you idiot, you know how much money that was. I guarantee you. There's probably even some people that told you that too. But God blesses right. He just does. So you help me. Is this you? Is this your music? Or is this your music right here? That's where you want to be. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time tonight. The attentiveness, the sweet spirit here. Thank you for